December 14th, 2018, meeting of Chicago State University Board of Trustees is hereby called to order. Ms. Phillips, will you please call the roll?
Trustee Gardner?
Here, yes.
Trustee Gowen?
Here.
Trustee Harper?
Here.
Trustee Hatch?
Here.
Trustee Jason F?
Here.
A quorum exists for the business of the board to begin. Ms. Phillips, will you certify that the notice of this meeting has been given pursuant to the requirements of the Open Meetings Act?
Yes, Chairman, the meeting notice requirement has been met. Notices were posted 48 hours before this meeting in the Cook Administration, Student Union, and the Gwendolyn Brooks Library buildings.
Thank you. Madam President, we want to thank you for leading a wonderful graduation on yesterday.
Thank you, Chair.
And, yeah. Say we're going to do our best to sing the song, but there was an Angela Walton who sung yesterday who will never be topped.
For sure.
Madam President.
So I'd ask that everybody stand so we can sing this school song. Will be led by our own Tim Lee.
I didn't mean that, Tim. I didn't know you were here.
I'm not offended. We can only do our gifts. Come on, y'all. Let's go around. Come around it. Who all will? Who all can? Come around the microphone with me, if you want to. You don't have to. Let's just sing. Ready? 6, 7. Here's. Here's to Chicago, evergreen and white. Hail CSU, where we can reach the height. Proudly we raise all our voices to you, helping each other to make it through. Honor and glory, telling our story, leaping our mission so true. Honor and glory, we'll tell the story, lifting our voices to CSU. Hail CSU, where all our dreams come true, meeting the challenge, making old things new. Onward and upward we'll proudly sing, all our devotion we'll gladly bring. Honor and glory, telling our story, keeping our mission so true. Honor and glory, we'll tell the story, lifting our voices to CSU. As we endeavor to achieve our goals, may we continue with a joyful soul, fondly availing our school's brave heart. With adoration we shall impart. Honor and glory, telling our story, keeping our mission so true.
Yes.
Honor and glory, we'll tell the story, lifting our voices to CSU.
Okay, we have the printed agenda. I had a chance to look at it. We'll adopt a motion. We'll entertain a motion to adopt the agenda as printed.
So moved.
Second. Trustee Gardner?
Yes.
Trustee Gowen?
Yes.
Trustee Harper?
Yes.
Trustee Hatch?
Yes.
Trustee Jay Smith?
Yes.
All right, at this time we'll entertain public and employee comments. Please limit your comments to 2 minutes. The board will not hear presentations or entertain questions on the following topics: issues under negotiations as part of the university's collective bargaining process, statements concerning the private activities, lifestyles, or beliefs of individuals employed by or associated with the university, grievances of individual students or employees, or any personal matters. Ms. Phillips, have we had any to sign up today?
We did, Chairman. Renard Singleton.
Good morning, Board of Trustees, Madam President, faculty, staff, and students in the room. Coming to the board once to address situations that have happened on the university, primary thing that we're having with the student body is the situations that have happened in the student union building. Do not know, but the student union building was completely flooded. The entire secondary level, the offices of where the students are working or the students are conducting activities, was completely flooded out. Students are having somewhat sort of a heartfelt situation. One, to know that they're paying student activity fees that are coming to the facility, but students are feeling that the fees of which are being paid for, the things that are being paid for are not taken care of. Don't want to just come with complaints in that aspect. We had students that, a campus tour, they came the other day, actually 3 weeks ago, and to hear parents there in the facility saying, we're not coming here, look at this place, was heartfelt to me as an alumni of this university and a master's student here as well, too. Knowing that, once again, two students are paying $199 for student activity fees, and the building that the students are calling the student union is not being properly assessed. The walkways that we have are the parking lots where I had to assist a student whose vehicle had grounded because of a large pothole to help her change a flat tire was heartfelt to me. I know that the $200 that we pay for a semester with 2,000 students here is $400K. Once again, do not directly know how that those finances are dispersed, but would like to definitely sit down with whomever I need to sit down to on behalf of the student body to figure out not just problems, but aspects of resolution that we can all do, once again, to make it that when students are coming here to see if they're going to come here, have positive yeses instead of their parents saying no.
Thank you.
Bobby Stewart.
Sure. Good morning.
Good morning.
Don't do my minutes until they get up there. Okay. Good morning, Madam President.
Good morning.
Board Chair, board members, and to all of Chicago State University. We, the civil service employees, stand before you today to inform you that we are here, not by your side, not behind you, not around the corner, but right with you 150%. President Z. Scott, the atmosphere here at Chicago State is changing for the better because of you. The civil service employees work hard because we care about CSU, and it is so refreshing that we now have a president that cares for the employees and the entire CSU family. So on behalf of the Civil Service Employee Council and the membership, we would like to say thank you to the board, thank you to President Scott, and thank you to all of the Chicago State Board Trustees for taking the time to listen and to carefully observe what we do and to give us respect for our work. We will present a full board report in March because we have a lot to exciting news. But for now, we wish you all continued success as you lead us. We look forward to working with you for making civil service employees greater than we already are. Happy holidays from the Civil Service Employee Council and its members. And today we're doing Civil Service, a hot chocolate bar on the second floor. You are cordially invited to stop by and get some hot chocolate and mingle with Civil Service. We thank you. Now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Got two kids.
We have a board yet. As my disclaimer, I said green. She said red. So during the holidays, take one day, relax, away from Chicago State. I know it's hard because I go home and think about Chicago State too. But take one day and just relax, okay? And overlook the red, because that's the blood of Jesus.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Stewart. Let the record reflect that we have received very valuable gifts today as trustees.
Thank you.
Ms. Phillips.
Frank Horton.
Morning, board. I'm Frank Horton from the Chicago State Educators, class of 64. And I just want you to know, President, that good news travels fast. The alum got the word that you wanted a marching band. So we got behind it already. And I have a little picture here of what kind of looks like. I've already recruited 15 individuals who are going to sponsor a kid. I know you need scholarship money in addition to the uniforms. So we're working on that. And we thank you because we believe that will also increase the enrollment by us having a marching band. They'll see us in the parades different. So we congratulate you for that idea. It was a great idea. And officially, we'd like to welcome you to Chicago State. And it's almost like homecoming for me. Especially when I knew the provost when she was a senior at Kenwood High School.
It wasn't that.
And I must be a great counselor. Look where she is now. I was a high school counselor. And your classmates, Dr. Roundtree, told me to tell you hello and good luck. Okay, and we appreciate that. And even further, with a family relation, the president's mother was my librarian when I was principal at South Shore. Her mother was my librarian, Miss Scott, great lady. And the last thing I want to say about family, your basketball coach, Lance Irvin, I grew up with his mother and father, Louise and Pye. So this is a family reunion. So we're going to make South Shore great again. I'm sorry, Chicago State.
That was the last speaker.
All right, thank you. At this time, we'll entertain a motion to approve the 2019 board meeting dates, March 1st, 2019, May 10th, 2019, June 21st, 2019, September 20th, 2019, December 13th, 2019.
So moved.
Second.
Trustee Garner?
Yes.
Trustee Gowen?
Yes.
Trustee Harper?
Yes.
Trustee Hatch?
Yes.
Trustee J. Smith?
Yes.
All right. Now we'll be delighted to hear the report from the daughter of Mr. Horton's librarian, President of Chicago State University, President Scott.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
First of all, I appreciate your Chair, your comments regarding the commencement ceremony yesterday. I thought it was a wonderful celebration for our graduates, and I want to just take the moment to thank the our faculty, staff, and administrators for supporting that activity. I know that no one person is responsible for getting that done, and I am grateful for the support of all who surround us, including the board members who were able to attend. I wanted to talk a little bit about a couple of new employees who have joined the administration. First of all, I'd like to introduce our new Vice President, Michael Holmes. Mr. Holmes has come on board as our new Vice President of Administrative Services. There are multiple components to the job, but I have decided that we should focus strategically on our capital assets and capital planning. Mr. Holmes has jumped right in. He's been in the tunnels already. He's met with many of his members of his staff. His duties will include also the parking lot and meeting and events. We will now begin the process of really marketing CSU as a venue for various conferences and meetings in a real way. So I appreciate his interest in coming on board. I'd also like to introduce our new Deputy Chief of Staff, Kim Tran. Mr. Tran will be supporting the work of my Chief of Staff and me as we go about trying to engage our community and others in the strategic planning that we plan to do. He's also a little bit of a speechwriter, because he's got a strong academic background. So we appreciate him coming on board as well. I heard your comments regarding the facilities. Mr. Holmes is tackling that as one of his most important tasks, particularly focused on the Student Union Building and some concerns and issues that we're having there. So I appreciate your comments. We're going to have a member of the Student Government Association to come to our ops meeting to give administrative team a sense of what's going on in student government and what's going on with students, so we look forward to that presentation. I want to spend a little bit of time talking about government affairs. Bryce Yancey, our new government relations professional, has been hard at work improving our relationships with our government officials. I visited Springfield about 2 weeks ago. We had all of the presidents had a sit-down meeting with Senator Sandoval on the issue of diversity, supply diversity. Chicago State will be leading, will be one of the leaders of the supplier diversity task force between all of the universities. And Bryce will be working with the government relations professional from University of Illinois on that project. We have taken our seat at the table when it comes to government relations. I also had a private meeting with Representative Chris Welch in Springfield, who is the chair of the Higher Education Committee for the House of Representatives. I think that meeting went well. My transition committee, I want to spend a few minutes on that, closed out its work. We are working on finalizing the transition committee report, which will be published to the public. I think it is a good report. I think it is objective. It says some wonderful things, particularly about our faculty, but it also presents for Chicago State its challenges. I appreciate the participation of Dean Darga and Professor Beverly on that team, and bringing the voice of CSU into the room for the committee. And I appreciate your participation, Chair, and participation of Trustee Goen on the committee. The committee worked very hard, and I think that the report that we've gotten is a true testament to the work of volunteers. I want to spend just 1 second on enrollment management, and I know we're going to have a report, but we are very focused on our high school population that is in and around Chicago. Next week I'll be visiting Washington High School to meet with the principal and counselors there. They're also giving us access to their students, and we'll be presenting to the juniors at the high school. I also had a meeting this week, or was it last week, with the president of Olive Harvey to talk about the various things that we can do to enhance and improve both of our enrollment and our relationship. We will be working to develop enrollment, co-enrollment strategies and education strategies that we will see students from Olive Harvey coming to Chicago State once they complete their education there. It was a very good meeting. I think the second meeting is scheduled for next week, and that meeting will be led by Dr. Ellison on behalf of Chicago State. So I understand that. I just want to say a little bit about our facilities. I mean, our facilities are, we've had the unfortunate problem of not having the investment, the capital investment that we need to actually do some of the incredible and necessary repairs that need to be done to improve and enhance our building space. We are focused on making enhancements to student spaces that not only support our existing students, but that will also attract students. next week, the University of Illinois, their facilities manager has opted to come down and support Chicago State in our development of our efforts around that, because they have mastered the art of doing a lot with a little. And so they are sending their people down to Chicago State next week to just take a look at some of the spaces and give us some ideas of some of the things that they did with just a little bit of money. I've also been encouraged by all who are associated with capital planning for the university to really spend some time thinking about its capital needs, because there is likely to be a very large capital bill with the transition in leadership in the State House. So we are working with professionals. We will be working with a professional organization to help us evaluate our capital needs, so that when the time is right, we'll be able to make a persuasive presentation on the needs of Chicago State. So that completes my report.
All right, thank you, Madam President. All right, but my family's here today, and we're gonna release you guys. And thank you for coming. This is my wife Priscilla on the end here. They just came to sit with me in this meeting today. Thank you all for coming. Daughter Janelle, daughter Joyce, son-in-law Nick, son Marshall. Thank you guys for coming to sit. Now that the vice chairman is trying to goad me into giving just a brief speech, but my term is over in January, and I've enjoyed my time here from 2014 and serving Chicago State University. We hope that we've done an adequate job of helping to in some small way move us forward. And I want to thank my family for coming again. This is my little support base. We're from the West Side. Any West Siders in the house? But it's been our pleasure, especially proud of the naming of the library, the Gwendolyn Brooks Library, and all that we've learned. A woman who won the Pulitzer Prize in 1950, 5 years even before the Montgomery bus boycott. And out of all of the places that she could have been placed, she last taught here at the Chicago State University. And I shared when I was down at the University of Chicago last year for the centennial of her birth, they had the nerve, the gall, to have a Gwendolyn Brooks week down in Hyde Park. And I wanted to make sure we made a statement, Madam President. She doesn't belong to them, she belongs to us. And so thank you. Thank you, family, for coming. Okay. Trustee Buckner is not in. But Provost Roundtree will come for Academic and Student Affairs report.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We have had quite a productive semester. As you see in your report, the faculty has continued on their efforts in publication, grant writing, and leadership activities. Also, we are very proud of one representative, Marnie Boyd, who is in our pre-engineering program, who received the Ford Unsung Hero for her 20 years of efforts here at Chicago State in promoting engineering among underserved populations. We also recognize our students have had a wonderful semester as well in terms of academic excellence and leadership, with Ms. Isis Martin receiving the Lincoln Laureate for Chicago State University in the state of Illinois. And we also onboarded two new student organizations, the Tau Sigma Honor Society for our transfer students, and I believe there was about 100 students inducted into the first cohort. And we also started our own chapter of the National Council for Negro Women. So we are very excited about the efforts as the students are moving forward. The other major effort that's gone on is building of partnerships in our division, as the president has acknowledged, as we're working with the city colleges, some of the high schools on dual enrollment, and we hope in our March meeting we'll have some finalization of some of the initiatives that have been going on this semester. So what I'd like to do at this time is bring to you two resolutions. One is first for the strategic plan. As you know, we extended our last strategic plan, awaiting the president's appointment of our permanent president. Now that she is in place, we would like to move forward in the strategic planning process. We have already started the formation of a committee that will represent the entire university. And so we are asking that the board extend the current strategic plan until December of 2019 so that we can remain in compliance with the Higher Learning Commission on the necessary strategic plan as we develop our next focus. Any questions?
Any questions on that? Do council, do we need to read the resolution before?
I think there's some typos in the resolution. So at the top, you call it approval to extend the 2012 to 2018 strategic plan, but that's not really true, right? You want to extend the 2012 to 2015 strategic plan one more time, right? We didn't have another strategic plan after 2015, right?
Correct.
So okay, so at the top, so you actually are just moving the change to extend the 2012-2015 strategic plan one more year. So then we should change the title of the motion. And then on the fourth whereas clause, you say the 2012 to 2017 strategic plan. But I don't think we ever, like, the strategic plan is still the same. It's the 2012 to 2015 strategic plan, and it's just been extended multiple times. So can the resolution just reference the actual strategic plan that we're talking about? Because there hasn't been any other strategic plan. Like, we didn't do anything to
yes.
it to
okay.
make it from 2012 to 2018 or 2012 to 2017. You see what I mean? Like,
yes.
We've just only extended the one 2012 to 2015. And so all the different dates, like the different references in here, are a little bit confusing.
Okay, we'll make that correction so you'll have it.
The only concern I would offer with that is that in extending the plan, we actually extended the dates of the plan, and we're required by our creditors to have a plan in place. I think that the title of the resolution does accurately reflect that a strategic plan was in place for that period of time. So if we change the resolution, it would make it appear as if there was a gap in our strategic plan, under which we were operating. So I know that the plan actually expired in 2015, but we extended it. And by extending it, we extended the dates of the plan.
I don't know, because when we first extended this plan, I don't even think we ever did anything to, like, review it or update it to even change the dates. So it's just a little bit, it's odd to me that it's like, every year the date of the plan is changed, as if we've made changes to the plan, but this board of trustees has never done anything with this plan, reviewed it or made changes to it. We've just continued to extend it, waiting for a permanent president.
I just have a question. If when we actually would turn over the plan, what's the title of the strategic plan? Does it still say 2012 through 2015?
No, it adds the new date.
Oh, you have kept changing the date.
Because when we say what plan are we working on, we have to have the active year. So instead of it being an original 3-year plan, it's now working on, it's about 6 to 8, 7 years old.
So what we could do is, because I think I understand your concern, what we probably can do is keep if we change the date, just add a like an addendum to the front of the plan, just to say that this plan has been extended and approved.
Yeah, we add that to the bottom that it's been updated and extended.
So that it reflects that. So it still would be the 2012 through 2018 to meet that need, but it will show that we just extended it if we added that to the bottom, and then that'll take care of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think the point is we need one that is
yes,
active.
Yes, we must have at all times have an active strategic plan.
Right, there's just a difference between extending something and adopting something, right? So I think the way that this motion has always read is asking us to extend it, not that it be readopted for the current year. And so I didn't know that we were always changing the date, but I understand that now.
Mm-hmm. If I could just acknowledge the MBA program that's been approved. I think that's phenomenal.
Yes, we are excited about that.
Yeah, that should be, I just wanted to verbally acknowledge that and congratulate the team on getting that done.
Thank you so much.
Okay,
so back to your question, Chairman. We don't need to read the resolution if all the trustees have read it and are ready to take a vote.
All right, thank you. All right, if there are no other questions, we will entertain a motion to extend the University Strategic Plan 2012 through 2018.
No.
2019 to 2000.
Yeah. On here, it's 18. It should be 19. Oh, it's down 19. At the bottom. Okay,
down
I'm sorry.
The bottom, yeah.
2019. Thank you.
So moved.
Yeah.
Second.
Trustee Garner?
Yes.
Trustee Goen?
Yes.
Trustee Harper?
Yes.
Trustee Hatch?
Yes.
Trustee J. Smith?
Yes.
Okay. Our second resolution is the designation of a chairperson for the Commission of the Young Adult Employment Act resolution. The Young Adult Employment Act was a legislative unfunded mandate that came in, I believe, 2015. We appointed a chairperson in 2017. However, the legislators never appointed any members to the committee. However, this has come back up and has been has been amended to be reactivated and extended to 2022, so as the group who will chair this committee, we've asked to appoint a position, and ours would be our Honors College Dean, as we feel he would be that position would be a great representative on this commission to help convene this meeting. And that current position would be our Dr. Kelly Harris, who is in that position as the Honors Dean.
Any questions on? Okay. All right, we will entertain a motion to adopt the resolution. New appointment, chairperson designee for Commission on Young Adult Employment Act resolution.
So moved.
Second.
Trustee Garner?
Yes.
Trustee Goen?
Yes.
Trustee Harper?
Yes.
Trustee Hatch?
Yes.
Trustee J. Smith?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you, Provost Roundtree. Mr. Ellison, management report is next.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'll just update some of the things that have changed since the report has been submitted. We have admitted 339 new undergrad students since the report. As of this morning, 139 new freshmen and 200 transfer students. And on the graduate side, we have admitted 85 students. And so we're up on the undergrad freshmen by 19%, and transfer students we're up by 23% and admitted students, and we're up 60% over last year for graduate students. As of this morning, we are 49 students less who have registered as of this morning from compared to last year. So we're working on finding those 49 students who have yet to register to at least bring us to where we were this time last year. We do know that students have waited for grades to roll this before they register, so we expect a large number of students to continue registering next week and throughout the Christmas holidays, and as well as when we return in January. A couple of things that are in place right now, technology updates. Our CRM solution is being implemented right now. The folks from Salesforce and from TargetX were on campus 2 weeks ago to meet with the undergrad and grad admissions as well as the departments so that we can get our admissions process up and running and ready to go by April 1st. This solution is going to be a significant improvement for our processes and admissions on both undergrad and grad side, and really allow us to become a paperless process. So we're looking forward to that. We're also working on some other technology improvements to enhance for our students so that they're no longer having to print forms, send them in via email, or bring them in all of the forms that are related to enrollment management, which would include admissions and financial aid. The registrar's office will be online forms that students will be able to fill out online and submit them online as opposed to printing and bringing them in. We're also working to get an online signature so students who have to sign certain forms can sign them online, and that process too will be automated. We have a series of publications that should be rolling out within the next 30 days. One has already come out for admissions and financial aid. We're anticipating a brochure on student life, athletics. All of the colleges will have their own separate brochure and then brochures for each of the programs. Thus far, we have made over 450 visits to local high schools and other recruitment venues, and we are currently doing on-site admissions at many of our local high schools when our enrollment specialists are out. So those are the most significant updates that I wanted to share with the board, and I'll entertain any questions that you may have.
What's the total enrollment again?
Total enrollment for fall was 2981, I believe.
And last year was at the same time compared.
I don't have last fall's enrollment with me, but spring enrollment last year, spring 2018, we were at 2844 for census.
Any questions for Mr. Ellison?
So the projection is that we're going to be down in the spring?
The projection
in every category?
The projection is that we will at least be where we were this time last year.
Assuming that we get those other 49 people?
We get those other 49 and then the people that we are continuously admitting. We have about 200 students who still have to be reviewed. We're waiting on transcripts from. One of the challenges with spring semester, particularly for our transfer students, is that their grades don't post until December 24th. And so we'll be waiting for those transcripts to come in when we return from the holiday break. So we'll definitely see a flurry of students coming in then with those transcripts.
And then I know it's not here, but what do you think about fall of
2019? Well, fall, we are really kind of ahead of the game. We're 37% up on undergrad applications right now. Last year, this time, we had 636 applications, and right now we have 873. So we're up in terms of our application numbers for fall. And again, one of the things that we're doing now when we go out to many of the high schools, we're doing on-site admissions. So we're collecting the transcripts there, making decisions, and admitting those students.
So we should, we might have a higher yield?
That is my belief.
Okay.
And I would say that, we have been showing an increase of new students each semester for the last year and a half.
Okay, I don't think there are any other questions.
You don't want to talk about the banners, Dr. Ellison?
Yes, we have, I shared with the president and the executive team that it's really nice having our banners that show up on 95th Street and on King Drive, but we need to have banners in other communities leading to the university, so we have a number of banners that will be going up in other areas of the city as you're coming towards the university.
We got permission from the city of Chicago to place our banners on 95th and Stony Island and on 87th Street. So we will be placing banners further away from campus.
Yeah. And hopefully we'll get to Cottage Grove and 63rd and back this way as well. Thank you.
Okay. Are you prepared to talk about this?
Present the resolution on that.
Yeah, the media and advertising contract.
Sure, Stephanie will help me with this.
Sure.
Thank you. When we submitted the contract, it was a one-year contract for $500,000 with the ability for the contract to be renewed if Chicago State felt that the work that was being done was appropriate and satisfactory. The resolution, we spoke with Lakeisha this morning and made a few tweaks to that to indicate that it was never our intent to request $2.5 million. It was $500,000 for 1 year, but the ability to be able to renew the contract so that we can stay continuous with our marketing and recruitment efforts. So it's our plan, so when July 1 rolls around, we'll have to come before the board again to ask for approval for an additional $500,000 or whatever that amount may be so that we can continue our recruitment without stop. So that's what our goal was when we submitted the resolution, is that we can continue our marketing efforts without interruptions.
And that's the way it reads now.
Yes.
Yeah.
I believe the board attorney has an addition to the resolution.
I
have a question though. Before we do that, so you included the contract for us, but you didn't include the Exhibit A, which tells us what we're getting under the contract. So what does Exhibit A say?
It should be
like a scope of services, like a statement of work.
It should have been attached.
Yeah.
If you don't have it.
It's not listed as Exhibit A, but it is a scope of work attachment to it. So maybe that's the disconnect.
Where is it? I don't have it. I only have the contract. I just want to know what are we signing
so
up for?
We're looking to do billboards. We're looking to do social media on the various platforms. We're looking to do.
Is it listed anywhere?
It is in
the exhibit.
It's
in the scope of work,
which should have been attached to the contract. It looks like Trustee Garner.
I have it. It just doesn't say that it is Exhibit A.
Yeah, but it is
a scope of work.
Yeah, okay. I don't have a scope of work or an Exhibit A. So basically, because I know the last time we talked about it, we talked about getting like value for impressions and like having like metrics for them to have to meet in order for us to like spend the $500,000. So there's all of that in the scope of work.
The scope of work details the different venues and the different methods that we will use to promote the university, including social media, including billboards, bus stations,
radio ads,
where they're going to be placed. What it doesn't detail is the specific campaigns, because those are
are on a case-by-case basis. So, for instance, if we wanted to run a concentrated campaign for our new MBA program, that would be its own marketing plan that would be presented to the board through the Academic Affairs Committee when it was time to be approved. But
yeah,
what the scope of work talks about is, generally speaking, these are the services that they'll be doing. These are how we're going to measure the services.
But no actual metrics at the moment. And
no.
Can you talk about why there isn't?
Well, it's going to vary depending upon what platforms we're using. When we did the campaign last time, It's Time to Rise, and we were able to talk about what we could do with the money that we had, they then told us, here are the number of impressions that we think you could get from the radio spots. Here's what we think the clicks or the impressions you'll get from social media. These are the number of spots that you would get for the billboard. So once we decided what we were going to get, where it was going to be placed, they then gave us that information.
So where's that information?
I'm sorry?
Where's that information?
They gave that to us I think we sent you what we got last for the last campaign.
We did.
In terms of how many impressions they promised us, how many clicks we would get, and so on and so forth. So that was a part
of what
was
the actual numbers?
I don't have those off the top of my head, trustee.
So they did send the actual numbers?
Yes, they did.
Okay.
And your impression of their performance in the limited scope that you worked with them in the summer, can you just talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Okay. You know, I think it was very impressive, one, because we got a number of calls and people who came in and said, hey, I saw your ads on the buses.
Sure.
I saw things on the shelter. I heard radio announcements. Even faculty and staff stopped, said, first time I've heard something from Chicago State in a long time. So we felt that the campaign kept us out there, it kept us fresh, it kept people realizing that the university was still open because they were seeing things and hearing things about the university. I think we'll be able to do more of that as we move forward with this new campaign, because we will be doing kind of some surveys asking people, how did they hear about us, how did they learn about us, and that will give us additional data to support the expenses of running these campaigns. In addition to that, we're looking at perhaps if we're getting more applications from certain zip code areas, that will help us as well.
For the metrics that, though, were set for the summer campaign, so there were metrics set after you had a conversation with the vendor.
Yes.
How did they perform against those metrics? Did you guys get some documentation on how they performed against those metrics?
Yes, we did.
Okay, and your impression of that is?
It was successful.
Okay.
And one of the things, just so that you all understand, this is a newer area for Chicago State. So what we've had to do is look at how we evaluate those metrics. So we didn't previously use Google Analytics on our website to track how many people visited a certain page of a website and for what and what they were requesting. Those are things that we are doing now. So we're actually creating a baseline, which is why it is a little bit challenging to create a one-for-one metric on, well, we're going to improve every visit to the admissions webpage, because we weren't tracking that before. But those are things that we are going to be tracking now as a part of this marketing campaign.
Mm-hmm. So what would make me feel better, not that this is about me, but so in the contract, it says that we have the right to withhold the holder part of any invoice due to unsatisfactory work performed. If we could tie that to them not meeting, unsatisfactory work means them not meeting the metrics that you set out for them to meet, then like I would feel more comfortable that if we don't get what we want, that we have the legal right under the contract to withhold some of the funds. Because it just says unsatisfactory work, and that term is used throughout this entire contract, and like legally that doesn't really mean anything, because who gets to determine what unsatisfactory work is?
I have no problem adding that.
Okay.
Trustee Harper, I can do that.
All right, then I'm better. I feel better.
Thank you.
And I think just looking ahead, assuming that they perform well and we may want to renew, for me, I would like to have very explicit information on why we would be renewing compared to the metrics that we set. So that's just as an anecdote going forward, that it's going to be important to measure their performance against measurable outcomes, and I would want to have a detailed discussion on what those measurable outcomes are.
And can we get the metrics sent to us after the meeting?
So it's in email, but it's not as detailed as what we were looking for. So we were looking for like actual, like they're going to, for 500,000, we're going to get 1 million hits and this many impressions. It doesn't say that. It just says that they'll like use best efforts to make those things happen.
Right. And so understood. And like I said, we are kind of creating a new platform, a new paradigm right now. So we all agree. We are stewards of the state's money and the university's money, and we want that money to be best spent. And so you are entitled to that information. We want to keep you informed, and we'll keep you informed throughout the campaign so that you are aware of how successful they are. And as consumers of media, you'll know too, because you'll know if you're hearing it or seeing it,
Council,
and if you're getting word from other folks.
Yeah, this is where we were the last time.
I
don't see how we made progress in terms of answering the question. I mean, I'm predisposed to know that this needs to move forward.
Correct.
But I just don't understand why we're still at the same place.
So last meeting.
Because I think that I think what they're saying, and tell me if I'm wrong, if I'm misunderstanding, but I think what I hear is that they're going to set the impressions and metrics for the specific campaign. Which they have not developed yet. So they don't have the metrics for us to look at or approve because they haven't set the campaign.
Correct.
So what they're going to do is tie our ability to withhold money and payments to the metrics that are set with the campaign.
And renewal of the contract.
And renewal of the contract. Yeah. And then therefore, if they don't meet the metrics that are set when the campaign is developed, then we can withhold money pursuant to the terms of the contract.
Yes.
That is correct.
I mean, I think that's all we can
do. And that's the way I understood the renewal clause as well. That it's really a 1 year opportunity to work with them and then do a review if necessary, whether you want to move forward.
That is correct.
And that's a big difference between the 2.5 million.
Yeah.
Big number. Yeah.
I don't know that we have any more additional info at this point. Yeah.
Well, we can just, we can entertain a motion to move forward so that they can get started.
Go ahead, Lakeisha. If you're still asking, I just asked.
Yeah, I guess I'm also looking at in the scope of work under accomplished items and estimated schedule. We have November 18 as an opportunity to start some of the work. Is that accurate?
Not at this point.
It was at the time that the scope of work was submitted in the contract.
Okay. So maybe we just need to make a note somewhere that there has not been work started under this contract?
No.
Just to make sure that that's explicit.
It is, because there is no operative contract. Nothing's
got it. Okay.
Signed.
Okay.
And just before we call a vote, just that we need to clarify it and put this on the record. The reason why the full board is seeing it, previous board meeting, we actually approved that we could get the scope of work and that the Academic Affairs Committee of the Board of Trustees would approve that. Upon doing that, we had a meeting, and it was brought to my attention that there's actually a conflict with one of the trustees. And so in terms of actually, that's on the Academic Affairs Committee, so he was not comfortable in being the one to make that decision. And so that's why it's now back to the full board to actually approve that. So Trustee Buckner had disclosed a conflict of interest with this, and so we are bringing it back with a new resolution for the full board to approve. And then with that, I've actually added to the resolution that you guys had received, and just one further line, just to sum up what we're looking to do, that will say, further be it resolved that any subsequent contract renewals will be presented to the board for approval prior to exercising any options to renew.
Required by law for us to do that. I don't necessarily know if that needs to be in a resolution. We're required under the procurement code to bring it back.
Because the value of the contract
requires us to come back. I don't think we need to recite the law in the resolution unless that's absolutely necessary.
So does that mean we don't need to
I would keep it still in there. It wouldn't hurt, so we would keep that in there, just to clarify.
That's fine. We'll accept the change.
Okay. So are we ready to entertain a motion now? Yes, we are. We'll entertain a motion to adopt the contract, the resolution.
So moved as amended. You mean adopt the resolution?
The resolution. Is there a second? I second.
Trustee Gardner?
Yes.
Trustee Gowen?
Yes.
Trustee Harper?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear the motion, though. What was the motion was to approve the resolution?
The resolution, yes.
As amended?
As amended.
As amended.
Yes.
Trustee Hatch?
Yes.
Trustee J. Smith?
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Ellison.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
All right. Finance and Audit, Trustee Harper presides.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
As you can clearly see, I am not Ms. Edwards. She is out of town, and I will be presenting for her today. I'm Larry Owens, the interim controller. Just some of the highlighted items that I think you would have had in your summary report. We continue to actively manage the cash position, and I believe earlier today you should have received the most recent projection that we have for the cash, or it looks like it may be coming around now. But one of the things that we will need to do, earlier we heard a couple of comments about facilities. We are currently analyzing, in conjunction with facilities, the potential expenditures that may need to be made absent a capital budget for the immediate repairs that we may need to do. So that will be in progress. In terms of our property control, time passes quickly, and come at the beginning of the year, at the end of the first quarter, we'll be back to our annual inventory. So what we have started to ask people to do is to try to clean up all of their errant property that they no longer need, want, or is no longer functioning, so that it will cut down on the amount of inventory that we have to actually inventory at the time that the inventory is required at the end of March. In terms of the audit, we are, the external auditors have left the premises, but they are still hard at work on a number of issues. However, for the financial audit, we are having a closing next week that should wrap up the financial side of the audit, and we expect the other audit to be completed sometime in January. And we'll subsequently talk about the facilities after the accounting items. Any questions related to that before I go to our informational and resolution items?
No. I have a quick question. Do we have a sense of where we are currently, expenses compared to what we've budgeted for at this period and point of time?
Well, I guess probably the best way of putting it is that in terms, we would be in compliance because the way budget releases items is that, except for extreme categories such as facilities, they generally will not release the budget until quarterly. So we would be in compliance with those items, except for exceptions that come up, either someone needing to use their budget faster, mm-hmm. or for emergencies or other items that have come up. Okay. So in summary, we are in a good position because that's the way we manage it. Any other questions? Okay, well, the first thing that we have is an informational item that relates to the 2020 budget for a revision, and I believe that you all should have received exhibits A and B that takes the previously informed fiscal 2020 capital budget approval or acknowledgement that you had from 542.7 million down to 480.1. And that the exhibit A would have been the original one, listing out all of the projects and items that were expected. And then with changes that were made in conjunction with the IBHE planning and budget committee, revisions were made to bring that down to 480.1.
I asked the committee to make this an informational item because if you look at exhibits A and B, they're different. They are pretty different from what we approved in the capital budget. So I just wanted you all to be able to see the differences between exhibit A, which is from July, and exhibit B, which is current. It's the same, the categories are the same. It's just that there were a number of IBHE regulations that change the way that we had to reflect the funds. And then, you know, obviously as the funds became more finalized, the numbers changed.
And even if you wanted to look at some of the individual items or projects, you can see some of them they wanted an inflation factor put into it. So you can see the same item with just an increase for inflation.
So it would be exhibits A and B in the back of the binder that show the difference. And the biggest thing is like the bottom line, like the from July it was the grand total capital was I think 542,706 and now it went down to 480,132.
Correct.
Based on those regulations. So if there are questions about that or why that's changed, he can answer them. But I don't think there's anything for us to do in terms of a resolution.
Well, just the biggest part of the decrease is the obvious question from October compared to July. What is that, 62,000, that bottom line number?
Yeah.
Correct, you mean the?
The reason for the change, is there?
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. The request for capital restore appropriations?
Yeah.
Correct.
It's about a $62,000 difference. Is there any reason for that?
No, as I said, most of it came from in consultation with the IBHE because they were trying to identify the items that they felt would have a chance to be funded, items that they thought should not be included at all. So that's the reason why, as I stated earlier, if you look item by item in each of those categories, you can see either items that went up or items that were deleted in total.
Okay.
Okay, if there are no other questions, I'll go to the resolution that we have. Resolution that we are proposing today, which you should have a copy of, is for the appointment of the CFO, Vice President, as the ex officio treasurer member for the board. Previously, it was myself at a time when we were going through a lot of upheaval and a lot of changes, and in that resolution, I was named as a person. So our resolution this time is to name the position so that in the future, we no longer have to worry about making changes as long as there is someone still in that function, which should be expected.
I agree with the resolution. Yes, and the recommendation.
Yeah,
We were just talking about the language of the resolution, so we might tweak it. There's a typo too.
Oh, okay.
Official. It says official instead of ex officio.
And just for the record, I didn't type it.
I know. I didn't blame you. I know it's not you. Yeah, we'll fix it, but we can move. I think we should accept it. It makes sense to have the university's top financial officer be this person.
Okay.
So.
Even if we don't have anyone.
So I don't know. I think that's true. What if we don't?
No one,
don't
have, yeah.
I think we do. I think we have a chief financial officer now, right? Isn't she the CFO?
Yes.
Yes.
I think that's her title. Her title, new title, right?
Her title has always been CFO.
Has it?
Since when?
Yeah. Ever since I've seen the org chart, she's been listed as chief financial officer.
Oh, when she was hired, she was
VP.
She was VP.
She's a finance and administration.
And CFO.
And CFO. Okay. So I don't know what happens if we don't have a CFO. But then we'll still have another chief. Somebody else will have to operate in that role, right?
Let me say this. I'm pretty sure that you would have some type of functioning CFO because the HLC regulations,
right,
which is what we got into last year,
right,
they require it. So even if a CFO leaves suddenly, you would be appointing an interim.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll always be somebody. Okay.
If there are no other questions, then we can entertain a motion to approve the resolution of the appointment of the chief financial officer as the ex officio treasurer and approval of the public official bond.
So moved.
Second.
Trustee Gardner?
Yes.
Trustee Gowen?
Yes.
Trustee Harper?
Yes.
Trustee Hatch?
Yes.
Trustee Jay Smith?
Yes.
Okay.
And did you have anything else?
No.
Okay.
That concludes
Thank you
that.
Very much.
Well.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, there probably won't be much discussion, but the next one on facilities.
You're here for.
Sort of going to sit here.
Yeah. Okay.
There's actually not a verbal report.
Okay, yeah. I was just. Okay, looking at, and that's the reason why I said it, but
Can
it was
we
on,
ask
still
the
on
question?
The agenda. Yes, ma'am.
Are the facility's not here? He's not here?
Well, it's not going to be a verbal one. We turned in a written report.
Well, I want to ask about the student center that was brought up in the
comments.
Comments. Mm-hmm. What can you just tell us what's happening?
Vice President Holmes.
Yeah. Does somebody have
While he comes up, what I can tell you is that's the reason why I alluded to earlier that we're looking at and evaluating the funding. Because I do know that we have in the queue a funding, at least to do some of the work over in that area.
Yeah.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, one of the main problems is the roofing and the leaking that created most of the problems, and we've bidded that out. Michael has got the final bids. He's appropriating the funds. Hopefully we can start within a week or so to make those corrections. There's other things that need to be done. We're looking at it in conjunction with Mike and other members of the student center, so hopefully we can get it to where it's usable and then enhance on it from there.
Do we have any place, like temporarily, where the students could have their offices?
Well, they're in the offices. It's just water control right now from the leaking. So there's damage. There's some areas that are separated and sectioned off, but they're still functioning in the offices right now.
Okay.
And I have a question.
Just control it.
So have you been to the student union? Well, I assume you've been to the student union. Many places in Stony Inn, there is no ceiling, it's just open.
All that's gonna be repaired when the roof is correct.
Okay.
When the roof is fixed. A lot of that was done for water control purposes because it was never repaired, so the water continued to flow and damaged the tiles that were put up there. So a lot of times they just left it open, and if you go in there, they have bags with hoses coming out to divert the water into the drains. Totally unacceptable, but
we're
not
going to.
Can we not use drains? We have to use trash cans.
How long will the repairs take once you start?
We open it within a week or so.
A
once
week?
They get started.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, the roof and
the
then
roof
the other
will
repairs
take a week.
Will take place after that.
Okay.
Correcting the roof is the number one issue right now. We have to stop the water flow into the
Okay. And we don't have any other space on campus where we could possibly do, we could possibly even.
They're still using it, but the offices are still functioning.
The student union is where the CAF is at, is where most events are at. But it just looks tacky and just, I mean, it's not a real problem.
Is there nowhere else in the, like, nowhere close where we could, no? Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right.
Okay, that's it. We'll go to student trustee report.
Okay, hello everyone. First, I would like to congratulate Isis Martin, a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, a resident assistant in the dorms, and a spring 2019 graduate on her Lincoln Laureate Award. I have spoken to many students, and we feel that it's best if first-time, full-time students and transfer students go back to academic support for advising. I personally have experienced both advising from academic support and also advising from my college, and I personally prefer under academic support. But for a first-time student, this first time at this university, I feel that they get more connections and more of a feeling of the school with academic support, because academic support, there is less people that you have to advise. So there's more of a connection versus going to your college and they don't know your name. You have to continuously go in there, and most times you get misadvised by those who are there. I feel that there should be a memo out to the students about this roofing that's going on in student union. Me and Cam was informed about what's going on in our academic affairs with that, but the students don't know anything. So the students expect to come back next semester with the same, with the water hose and a bag collecting water. We expect to still see that. And we're telling other people don't come here or whatnot, because who wants to go to a school with that? So it should be a memo that goes out to students saying, we are fixing this. We are apologizing that students should even have to see that, but still let them know what's going on. Then we would love to increase the attendance in basketball games and all sporting events, because we feel that faculty, professors, deans, everybody should come to the game and have a family feel. This will help boost CSU spirit. We love seeing President Scott over just out there having fun, rooting. She loves the game. We love seeing other people that we go to this university with share our school spirit. And we feel that there should be a surveys when we interact with financial aid advisors, so we can rate how our experience. We should be able to have our voices on the type of service that we received. And finally, I would like to say a farewell to Trustee Hatch, and well, Trustee Horace Smith is not here, but Trustee Hatch, thank you for all your work. Thank you for your guidance and all the jokes that you tell me. The last 2 years working with you has been amazing, so thank you. That's it.
Thank you. Your Trustee Smith. My son is sitting on the front row. Did you hear how great I am? Go and do likewise. Talk like him. All right. At this time, we'll entertain a motion to retire into executive session pursuant to the Illinois Open Meetings Act.
So moved.
Second.
Trustee Gardner?
Yes.
Trustee Goin?
Yes.
Trustee Harper?
Yes.
Trustee Hatch?
Yes.
Trustee J. Smith?
Yes.
All right.